Take your Bibles this morning and go to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Ephesians, chapter number 4. I am so grateful for an amazing staff who's worked hard over the past month to improve our lighting situation, our sound situation. We've heard from so many of you that it is no doubt you can hear the choir. And then we've done all of those changes. And then last week I blew out my microphone. And so just bear with me as we'll have to have a little different setup this morning, but it'll all work out. Ephesians chapter number 4, thank you, ladies ministry. Not only did you give Keith Sieber such a nice gift for his ordination, you also prepared two beautiful quilts here, or blankets, for the twins that we just introduced, and mom and dad can pick those up after the service this morning. How many of you have had a great week? You just finished a wonderful week. It was a great week. How many of you had a great week? All right. How many of you had a week that maybe there were some stresses and strains? There were some things. Okay, so we're about 50-50 this morning. Some of you need a charge. You were given two batteries. So everyone have their batteries this morning? This is a sermon illustration. Now, here's the thing. Jesus, when he was here on earth, he often used earthly things to make a story. And so I'm going to use something that's earthly this morning. These batteries are brand new. You can keep them at the end of the service, and you can use them at home. Your fingerprints are all over them. We don't want them right now, okay? So these are for you to keep, but I want to use them as a sermon illustration, and my prayer is that you always remember the sermon illustration that we're going to take from Ephesians chapter number 4. So I trust you have your Bible this morning, you have your notes, a pen, and you're willing to take some good notes this morning. Our goal as Tucson Baptist Church is to help families. Lord, forgive us if we're not a church that's coming alongside families, and that could be a husband and wife, that could be a husband and wife with children, that could be grandparents, husband and wife and children, three generations, and I'm aware that we have at least four generations in one particular family in our church. So our goal is to help family. Now, that could be a traditional family. That could be a single parent family. That could be what we call a blended family. Whatever that structure is this morning, and I know that we have all of those structures this morning, our goal is to come alongside and be a help to you. And God has a plan for your family. And my prayer this morning is that this message will be a help to you as a person, but also to your family. That's why I'm asking and encouraging you to take notes. Now, over here on my right side, we usually have a large contingent of single adults. This message could be used to help you, certainly in your future, as you establish a family. So this message is for every single person that is seated here listening to the preaching of the Word of God this morning. There are some amazing principles in the passage of Scripture that we're about to read this morning. Ephesians chapter 4 is an amazing interpersonal communication passage, whether for an individual or for a family or for a church. Now, it is a little bit lengthy, but would you follow along as I read Ephesians 4, verse 17 through the end of the chapter? This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Well, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Father in heaven, I ask for your help. This message could be instrumental in the lifeblood of our church. Thank you for directing me to speak this morning on this topic, and I ask that you will help each one of us to open our hearts, our mind. And if the Holy Spirit were to urge us, nudge us to take care of business within our own selves and within our family, that we be willing to obey that prompting and urging of the Holy Spirit. May I be guided and may I be controlled by the Holy Spirit this morning. Please take this message, use it in Jesus' name. Amen. During the past several years of ministry, especially with couples and families, I've had the privilege of serving and working with dozens and dozens of families. And I've discovered this. Almost every home is a unique family. There are different talents and abilities and communication levels, and families look different and they act different. And there are so many different kinds of families right here within our church. But I have been able to distinguish a couple of ways to describe the family. Would you take that Energizer battery that we have given to you and distributed to you this morning? I have discovered that within Tucson Baptist Church, we have what I'll call the Energizer brand family. Here's how I say, they keep going and going and going. This is the description of your family. You keep going and going and going. You're a wonderful testimony to those other families in our church. The Lord's blessed you. You're trying to do what's right, and praise the Lord for you. We need you here at Tucson Baptist Church. Now take that other, what we call generic battery, and I've discovered that within our own church we have what I'll refer to as the generic brand family. The average family in America today, it's generic. It's slowly dimming and draining and slowly failing with every single passing day. And sometimes it's hard to distinguish between the two at first glance. But they eventually show themselves, and it's easy to tell them apart. Sometimes you can tell through a tone of voice or a criticism between couples, or the way children respond to their parents or parents respond to their children. Oftentimes there is an indifference to affection, and there's ridiculous disputes that go on within families. I've even heard that phrase used in the hallways of our church. Yes, dear. And the tone of voice gives it all away that it wasn't a loving response. Sometimes there's an intense arguing between mom and dad over how to discipline the children. And sometimes, do you realize that I have met people within our own church who have arranged their schedules so that they don't see each other as much as a normal family? They're on opposite work schedules just so that they won't fight within their own family. Oh, the devil is destroying our families. He does not want us to have an Energizer bunny kind of marriage and family. He wants us to have a generic brand. He wants us to have our families destroyed, imploded, exploded, and he wants our families not to be families. Well, I'd like us to come to the Word of God and to take a battery test this morning to see how strong is your family. How strong is your family? Are you an Energizer family or are you a generic family? Are you one of those bright families or are you one of those failing, dimming, diminishing families? I find in this passage of Scripture there are three truths. And I would like to examine those three truths in the time that I have this morning. Truth number one is this. It comes from the passage of Scripture that we read, and that is that your family must have a declaration of purpose. Your family must have a declaration of purpose. What do we mean by that? Today, there's no real existence or purpose stated for the family. It's merely a place where we eat, we meet, we sleep, and then we get on the road. A lot of families, there's no really interaction according to what the Bible teaches us. God has given us goals. God has given us a purpose for the family. And so we shouldn't walk according to the path that's all around us. We shouldn't just do what comes natural. We should not see wicked living and just do what is natural. There are some goals for the family. In fact, I find two of those purposes, two declarations for the family. Look here in verse 17 and 18. We see, first of all, that there should be a renewed walk within our family. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the Gentiles walk, or not as the unsaved walk, not as the world walks, in the vanity or the emptiness of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. In other words, folks, we as a family that has been dedicated to God, that is desirous to be an energizer, going, bright family, we shouldn't be enamored with the darkness of this world. Renewed can be defined to make young again. Renewed is describing a restoration of that vitality and vibrancy in the family or even a marriage relationship. A renewed walk, it separates itself from the world. It looks definitely different than the world. Now, verses 18 and 19 mention several things that our family should be separated from. My time doesn't permit me to develop each one of those this morning, but suffice it to say, the Bible says there are some things that as a family, I should be different from than the world. And if there's ever been a time that Christian families need to renew their mind and to walk with certainty, it's this year, 2020. How many of you can agree with this? You cannot wait till January 1st, 2021. Let's get this year behind us. Hurry. Let's speed up the clock. It's crazy. But you know what? Even in the craziness and madness of the world, we are not excused from having a renewed walk, looking different than the world, acting different than the world. The Bible says here that our mind and our walk is being bombarded by hedonism and darkness of every sort, and we're losing family members all over the place. Some have those who have listened to a message on live stream or within our congregation have said, thank you, Pastor, for standing for truth, and thank you for standing. For example, I've mentioned the Black Lives Movement. And listen, it shouldn't cause us as Christians to have a hair at all stand up on our neck when I mention the Black Lives Movement. I've talked with several black people within our own congregation who said, thank you for standing up for it. If you look on their own website, they have said that one of their goals, primary goals, is the destruction of the nuclear family. My friend, that's against everything that we believe. We believe in the family. We believe that the family unit should be strong. We believe that the family unit should be a model for a lost and dying and unsaved world. I'm thankful that there's some moms and dads that love their children. I'm thankful for some moms and dads that are staying together, even through thick and thin, and they're working out their problems. I'm thankful for some husbands and wives that are spending the time to have a strong marriage. We don't need any more single moms raising their children without the absence of dad. But that's exactly what the Black Lives Matter movement and Antifa is all about. We must destroy, tear down, break down. Folks, I want to build up. I want to make our family strong. You know what? When I see Joshua Gordon get married, and I know that's a scary thought to all of us who have watched Joshua grow up with his amazing haircut this morning. Joshua, why don't you go ahead and stand up? Maybe not everybody knows who you are. He just got a new haircut. He looks so sharp. Yes. This is Joshua Gordon. You know what? We have watched him grow up from the time he was a little boy, and he does a wonderful job right here in our orchestra. He loves serving in our church. You know, I can't wait till the day that he gets married, and you know what? He's going to model what a Christian home should look like. I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for his mom and dad who have made sure that all of their children are in church through thick or thin, and they have invested because they know the Word of God supersedes what the world preaches. Folks, we need a renewed walk today. Now listen, I have a generic battery here, and there's some families within Tucson Baptist Church. The marriage is fading. There's some families, there's some tremendous struggles. We're losing our children. Our children are not interested in the things of God because we have placed an emphasis on the world rather than an emphasis on God. God, help us to keep our church family strong. So there should be a renewed walk. But notice in chapter 4 there, verse 20, it says there should also be a holy walk, a holy walk. In these verses, we see a holy walk for a godly family. We all in our flesh have an old man called an old nature. And when we are saved, the Bible says that we become a new creature in Christ. We're redeemed. We are renewed by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says we're to put on the new man. God has created us in righteousness and true holiness, and we're to put off, take off, shun the wickedness of this world and uncleanness and wicked living. And you know what the Bible says? That we're to put on the righteousness of Christ. And we should live a holy life with the help of Jesus Christ. Now, that flies in the face of our society today. I'm thankful our church is not located in Washington, D.C. It's a cesspool. And I don't care if you're an R, a D, an L, or an I. It's a cesspool of things that are anti-God. There's a lack of any type of things that look like holiness. Church family, it may not be popular preaching today, but may I just say that with salvation through Jesus Christ, holy living is possible. And once we're saved, we are practically and daily, the Bible says, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell the Lord you want him to take control. Tell the Lord you want him to renew your life. Lord, I want my life to be a reflection of you today. So help my responses and my attitudes and my words and my actions to be what you would do. Christ wants to teach us how to live in holiness. The Christian life has a different purpose than the others in the world. Our purpose is not to walk according to this world. I wonder if you've ever thought about maybe sitting down at your kitchen table and saying, maybe we should write out a purpose statement for our family. Maybe we should declare before God that we want to be different than the world. Maybe our purpose statement should be something like, the purpose of our home is to follow Christ by walking a renewed and a holy walk in a wicked and ungodly world. What would be wrong with having a purpose statement like that? Any family who makes it through this 21st century has to have some type of declaration, must have some type of purpose. And we've got to figure out, what is the goal of my family and my life and my marriage and with my grandchildren? What is that goal going to be? We've got to determine to put off the old life, to embrace the new life and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember that amazing verse found in Joshua? It says this, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Could that be your declaration of purpose? It could be simply that verse, Joshua 24, verse 15, as for me and my house, we're just going to serve the Lord. That's our purpose. It's refreshing to visit a home and to see where it's obvious that the family has decided to follow and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in their home. My friend, there should be an unmistakable difference when we walk into your home and for a person who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. We see wickedness everywhere, the TV and the movies and the homosexual advocates and the New Age religions and the destruction that's going on in America. We need some mommies and we need some daddies in this auditorium who will say, in the light of all that's going on in the world today, I'm declaring a purpose for my family today. Here's my purpose. My purpose is to be distinct and separate from this evil world. We will please Christ. We're going to put off the old man. My friend, what would happen if we as a church family, hundreds and hundreds of people this morning, what would happen if we would declare, I'm going to put off my former life. I'm going to embrace the Lord through the finished work of Jesus Christ. What would happen if we did that as a church? We need to determine that our family is going to be distinct and different from the world. Oh, someone has said, he who aims at nothing hits it every time. And I want to directly challenge you this morning to aim at something, a renewed walk and a renewed holiness that I will give my life. It should not be an alternative as a Christian, but it should be that I want to bring up my children. I want them to grow up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The Bible says that we're supposed to do that. The Bible says that we as parents aren't to let our children decide whether or not they come to church. Do you realize that I have three children that are now married? And if you do not know who I am, we're watching by live stream. I have three married children. In all of their days, never one time were they given an option on Sunday. Well, if you feel like going to church, get up and get ready. No, you live in our home, you're going to church. Do you know that we never even had to state that? That's the example. That's the way we lived. We have parents today who, well, we can't get our child out of bed, and so we just left him home to stay in bed. Who's the parent? You know why we're losing our children so rapidly to the things of the world? Because we have mom and dads who haven't declared that, you know what, we're going to let the Lord rule our home and not the world rule our home. The Bible declares that it's the responsibility of the parent to bring up the child. It's not the responsibility of the world. It's not the responsibility of the child. It's the responsibility of the parent. Quickly this morning, truth number two from the passage of Scripture in verse number 21 that we read, your family must have a dedication to truth. Your family must have a dedication to the truth. You know what we read there? If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. What is truth? The truth that is in Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. There must be a dedication to the truth that's found in the Word of truth. That's why your Bible is so valuable. It is truth. It doesn't contain truth. It is the truth. And we must have some parents and some grandparents, and we must have some single moms and dads that understand that they do not make church an option, but they make church a priority. We need to have some parents that will not make Bible reading an option, but it is a priority. And we are to be dedicated to the truth of the Word of God. And if we're going to maintain our purpose, our declared purpose as a Christian home, we must be dedicated to truth. The Word of God, it says, it's a light, it's a lampway to our feet and to our pathway. And so I just remind you this morning that the path that I want to follow is the path that Jesus Christ has laid out. A Christian home must be dedicated to the truth of the Word of God. May I also say this morning that we must be dedicated to the truthfulness within our own families. Notice what the Bible says here. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. But speaking the truth in love, that it may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. In the Christian home, there must be a zero tolerance for lying. In our homes, there must be a dedication to the truth of the Word of God, and there must be truthfulness within our families. And the way to tear down trust in your family is to lie to your wife or your husband, or allow your children to lie to you and to others. The telephone rang. One of the children answered the phone. On the other end of that phone, someone asked if their dad was home. And their dad yelled from the living room, "Tell them I'm not home." And the child said, "My daddy's not home." And with that, they hung up the phone. May I just say, that's an all too common example of what we as adults model in the life of our children. We taught them pragmatically, the end justifies the mean, to lie, and that was an acceptable little white lie. But it's magnified, revisited generation after generation on families when we teach our children to lie. The Bible says, put away lying. We all say, I do not have a problem with this. And I just ask you to examine personally, do you really not have a problem with this? There was a book that was written, The Day America Told the Truth. This book, they did a survey about how we are, how our honesty is within the United States of America. Here's what came out of that book, The Day America Told the Truth. They recorded that only 13% of Americans see the Ten Commandments as binding. 13%. Could that illustrate why there's a problem in the United States of America today? Now, I realize that we have people from all different kinds of cultures from around the world, and this statistic just happened to be specific to the United States of America. 13%. 91% of Americans indicate that they lie regularly at home or work. They call it exaggeration, stretching the truth, not telling the whole truth. 91% in this book said that they lie regularly at home or work. The truth of the matter this morning is that we're in a crisis for truth in America. Truth has died in the streets. We can't expect an unsaved person to be a standard bearer of truth. We must be the standard bearer of truth. And it starts right here in the church house. We must stand for truth. God help us if we don't. We're living in a day when employers lie to their employees and children lie to their parents and spouses lie to each other. And we've got to get back as a church family dedicating ourselves to speaking the truth. Here's truth number three this morning. Your family must have a determination for forgiveness. I want to give you something that's practical that can help you this morning. The family that keeps going and going and going is a family that forgives. The Bible is clear that there are several different offenses that we face. Look with me here, that's listed for us. There's the offense of anger in verse 26. The only time you experience anger and it is not sin is when there's a righteous indignation over sin and it's not directed at the person. But we're talking specifically about an anger in our families, and it does happen. When your anger goes day after day after day and you're angry and holding a grudge, you know what the Bible says? You're giving a place in your home to the devil. And after a while, that wedge gets wider and wider, and that's why we need to practice forgiveness immediately. There are those who are here this morning and you struggle with this word anger. Oh, I can assure you, Pastor Howard and I have had so many counseling sessions of people who struggle with this sin of anger. And sometimes it's over something that happened 7-10 years ago, not just yesterday. And people still hold on to that. We've counseled when there's been someone angry over a husband, over something that he said 3 years ago. And there are those who have a tremendous anger in their heart, and others simply cannot understand those reactions. And there are those men who are deep-seated into pornography, and even doctors have now said that one of the byproducts of men who have a deep-seated addiction to pornography is an anger problem that's taken out in their home. I'm here to say that anger is something that's flooded and infiltrated our homes, but there's also, the Bible says in verse 29, the offense of corrupt communication. Let me take just a moment to explain what corrupt communication is all about. People say things that are hurtful towards you. That's corrupt, dirty communication. God forbid that this should happen, but it does. And a Christian man may say a terrible curse word in front of his family, and then he just excuses it because he was upset. Shelly and I, on Friday, we went out for a lunch, and we went up to a restaurant up on Grant and Swan, and we were sitting there, and we were just eating and talking, and three college guys came in, and they ordered their chicken bowls, and they came, and they sat down in the table that was next to us, and they had no shame in the language that they were using. It was just corrupt, dirty, filthy language, it was natural for them. May I just say, it is natural to an unsaved person to use the world's language, but it shouldn't be natural for a Christian to use the world's language. I want to challenge you to get rid of that corrupt communication. It's not just a little language. It's not, oh, excuse my language, and then continue to spew. Corrupt dirties the family. He says in verse 31, there's the offense of bitterness. Sometimes people are eaten up over bitterness, and it's so hard on the vessel it's stored in. Oh, a couple of weeks ago, we had the opportunity to take our granddaughter, Raylan, on a Thursday to the zoo. It had reopened, and we took Raylan to the zoo, and we got to push her around, and she's fascinated with the peacocks, and she just loves, we could just stop the stroller and she just watches the peacocks and she's enthralled with the peacocks. Well, then we took her out to lunch afterwards and we went to sit down. And you know what happens when you order a sweet tea? What do they always put on a sweet tea? A lemon. And so we were just having fun with our granddaughter and she wants to try everything. And so she was reaching for the lemon and we gave her the lemon and she recoiled and just like, oh, I wish we at that moment we would have had the video or taken a picture, because she recoiled when she tasted that bitterness and that sourness of a lemon. Now, don't miss this very important illustration. She wanted nothing to do with that. She went on, she ate her meal, the lemon was laying there, and Shelly was recording, and I picked up the lemon, and I gave it to her. I said, you want a bite of lemon? And she turned sideways and completely ignored me. We have video of it. She just turned sideways and wouldn't even respond to me, looked the other way. And I said, Raylan, would you like a lemon? She looked at me, she goes, nope. There are people that have gotten used to lemon. Raylan wants nothing to do with that. It was bitter, sour. I don't want anything to do with it. But there are people seated here today, you've gotten used to the lemon. And you look like a lemon. And your lips are pursed like a lemon. Your eyes are recoiled like a lemon. Because the bitterness has taken its toll on you. It is a medical fact. I've actually talked to my medical doctor about this, bitterness. Bitterness causes physical problems. It breaks down the body. It's much harder on the vessel it is stored in. And he says we need to put away the offense of bitterness. Then he mentions the offense of wrath and anger and clamor. What is wrath, anger, and clamor? It's just a progression where here's what happens. It moves from words and attitudes to actual physically hurting someone, physically attacking someone. It moves to a level of where I intentionally try to hurt someone, whether with my words or my attitudes and my actions. God help us that we don't go that far. Then he mentions the offense of evil speaking. May I ask you this morning, is it wise to always speak everything that comes to your mind? Is it wise to air your grievances to anyone who will listen? How often we wish we could stuff those words back into our mouth, because at the moment we were so worked up that we wanted to say, and here's what happens is the things that we say cause irreparable harm and damage to a relationship. And then he ends with the offense of malice. What is malice? Malice is a smoldering anger. Do you know that there are husbands who are angry at their wife? There are wives here this morning who are bitter, like a lemon, at their husband. There are children here that cannot wait until the day that they can move out of their home because they're sick and tired of the hypocrisy that they see in the homes of their parents. And they cannot wait to get out. The day I turn 18, I'm gone. The day I turn old enough that I can leave, I'm out of here. Malice, it's destroying. Folks, I shouldn't have to say this. We should know this. We've said it for 12 years as pastor. The devil wants to destroy your home. And he's doing a pretty good job. He wants to destroy the relationship between husband and wife. He wants to break that down as a first relationship that breaks down, because if he can get mom and dad, then he can destroy the relationship that mom and dad are supposed to have with their children. Then if he can destroy the children in the home and get them to leave home because they reject what mom and dad say they believe in, then that generation is lost. The devil wants to have a place in your family. And there's got to be a determination by some people in their homes to forgive wrongdoing. That is something that all of us, we need. I forgive you, and you let it go. And there's a couple who went to a pastor for counseling. And they were full of anger toward one another. And you could cut the tension with a knife. It was so thick in the room. And the pastor simply said, where did all of this begin? Where did this all start? And they answered that if they thought it would be cute to write out one another's New Year's resolution. I think it's probably a bad idea. Anger can develop from such simple, silly ideas, and then they fester and they grow into a volcano of emotion that destroys relationships. The Bible teaches us the Greek word for forgiveness. It means to bestow favor unconditionally. The majority of marital conflict could be resolved if forgiveness was offered and if it was received. What a tragedy to see someone ask for forgiveness and then it is not received. The key to this whole passage is found in verse number 32. It says, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. This is why Christians should be able to forgive more readily than the lost. I can hear someone saying this morning that my husband or my wife or my parents do not deserve forgiveness. And by the world's standards, maybe you're right. But I say, wait a minute. What did Jesus do for you? Neither do you deserve forgiveness. But you don't understand. Now Jesus, you know, he was supposed to do that. I don't have to forgive. Wait. Jesus died so that you could have forgiveness. I'm saying this morning, there's some people that need to forgive. God forgave us when we were undeserving of it. God has forgiven us by the work of Jesus Christ. God does not forgive us because of our own merit. God forgives us because of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary's tree, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Though Jesus was tempted with all kinds of sin, the Bible says he never even sinned one time. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. And who are we to say, I'll never forgive them. I wish they were dead. I wish they were out of my life. His shed blood became the payment for your sins and the sins of an entire world. And thank God that he rose again 3 days later, proving that he truly was the Son of God. Think about how Christ forgave you. It might help you forgive someone else. Do you know that sometimes it starts out with the silliest, irresponsible little thing, as simple as he didn't speak to me, and then out of that grows this great big ordeal? Sometimes we misinterpret the nonverbal and it becomes a big deal. It really, at this moment, doesn't matter how it started. Here's what does matter. Am I willing to forgive? Am I willing to set aside? If you've been, and I say this morning, if you have never been forgiven by Jesus Christ, you've never accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, you could accept his forgiveness today, and he'll forgive you no matter what you've done, with his arms open wide. No conditions, if you'll but believe, he will forgive. So what kind of family do you have this morning? Are you an energizer family? Or your generic brand? I can't believe in my mind that there would be a family that would be content that it's okay to be a generic brand family. I can't conceive of that. But there are. There are those seated under the sound of my voice that you're content. Listen, we just made it to church on time. That's all I care about. I'm content to be average. I'm content to be just a little bit different than the world. May I say, declare your purpose to glorify God. Declare it. I want to have a family that's going to glorify God. Dedicate your family to truthfulness and honesty with one another. And above all else, determine to forgive. Determine to forgive. This is the formula that'll take this energizer battery and keep you going and going and going. I think our notes are finished, so would you take your two batteries as I finish my message this morning? You have two batteries. In the left hand, I ask you to put the generic battery in your left hand. The generic battery in your left hand, the energizer battery in your right hand. Statistically, supposedly, if you use the Energizer battery, the Max brand here, it's going to last longer than any generic brand. Do you want to be known as a family that you're like the Energizer bunny? You just keep going and going and going. Or is it okay with you if you're average? You're going through the motions. It's okay if we don't read the Word of God. It's okay if we don't pray. It's okay if we don't tell the truth. It's okay if we tell the truth sometimes, but not all the time. It's okay to be average. I've never desired to be average in anything in my life. I don't want to be average. Now, there's some things that I know that I can't do. But anything that I do try, I know that I don't want to be average. I want to be the energizer. So if you have that battery in your right hand, I'm going to ask you a question in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to raise your right or left hand. I'm okay, Pastor, if it's average. Or, Pastor, with God's help, I want to declare a purpose to glorify God. I want to dedicate my family to truthfulness. I want to determine that there's going to be some forgiveness when forgiveness is needed. I want to be that energizer bunny kind of family. I'm going to ask you to make an actual decision this morning which one you're content with. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father in heaven, I ask that you'll take these words from Ephesians chapter 4. We may apply them personally at this very moment. And Father, in doing so, we're making a public declaration of what we desire for our relationships to be like. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm absolutely not here to embarrass anyone. But before God, you know your family's not perfect, and that's okay. This is a step. This is a growth message. This is going to help us. But it would be your desire, with God's help, I sure want to be that energizer bunny kind of family that keeps going and going and going. And so with God's help, I'd like to raise my right hand and say, here it is, Lord. I want to be that kind of family. Would you make that decision this morning? Say, here's my right hand. I want to be the energizer kind of family. I'm not perfect, but if God's helping me, this is what I want to do. Thank you. Put your hands down now. How many of you would say, I'm okay to be average? And I raise my left hand saying, I'm just, you know, it's okay to be average. I don't see a single hand. Thank you. You can look this way. Let's congratulate one another. We got hundreds and hundreds of people. It's going to be the Energizer Bunny kind of family. Let's congratulate our families. Do you realize we're going to make a difference? We're going to make a genuine difference. I guess it's kind of hard to clap if you got batteries in your hand, because that was a weak clap. But I just want to say, I want us to be a church that keeps going and going and going. Don't you want to be that kind of family and church? Let's be that kind of church. Let's stand together. And I'm going to ask Pastor Jason to come and lead us in a song like Just As I Am or I Surrender All. And let's sing this prayerfully unto the Lord this morning as we have opportunity just to commit this decision. And as he's preparing to do this, may I ask all of you, if you are here today and this whole forgiveness thing, you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you're visiting because of an invitation, another family member, Pastor Howard and I, we would love to talk with you about that. And after the morning service, Pastor Howard's going to be right down here. I'm going to be in the lobby. And if you want to touch one of us and say, listen, tell me how I can become a Christian, we would take all the time that's needed to show you how you can be a Christian. If you're a lady, one of our wives will talk to you. It is no problem. We would be honored to show you how you can be a Christian. I encourage you, make that decision today. But for all of the hundreds and hundreds of people here today, we just made a decision. So let's commit that decision to the Lord. Let's sing, Pastor Jason, what are we going to sing? Just As I Am. All right, so he's going to lead us. And just as I stand before the Lord, may he see that heart decision that I just made.
We'll sing together, Just As I Am.
Just as I am, without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to
thank you for your great singing this morning. I'm going to ask Pastor Howard to come. He's going to dismiss us in a word of prayer. And as he prays, he'll be right down front afterwards. I'm going to be in the lobby if I can help you with anything. Now, don't forget, tonight at 5 o'clock, we've restarted our evening service. That'll take place right here in the auditorium. And on Sunday nights, we're going to go through the book of Titus. That's what we'll be studying on Sunday nights now that we've restarted our evening service. Growth groups will also meet at 5 o'clock, youth at 5, Spanish at 5, Kid Planet at 5. So there's always a lot of people here Sunday night at 5. We invite you back. Don't forget, today, Sunday, is the last day you can register to vote. That has to be turned in tomorrow. If you've never registered to vote, We've registered 18 people already, and we've done registration drives numerous times. Then in the lobby, there'll be a man who can help you to do that. Let's make sure all of us are registered to vote. Exercise that wonderful privilege that we have as Americans to vote. And if you've never voted in an election, this is a good one to get started. And so let's register to vote this morning. We can help you in any way. Pastor Hyde will be down front. My wife and I will be in the lobby, and we'd love to talk with you. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you, Pastor. Let's bow together. Father, we come before you. What an exceptional message and challenge that has been presented. Lord, we're thankful at the start of our service of the twins being introduced to us. We thank you for sparing Janessa's life, and just pray you'll continue to be with her and Jonathan. And then, Lord, as the scripture claimed, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We've embraced that. Many publicly raised their hand as a declaration that this is their heartfelt desire. I know it is mine. And I pray that you will help us to be light in darkness of this world, but help us to be good husbands and good wives and to demonstrate your love to one another and to our children, to our grandchildren, even to great-grandchildren. We thank you for the truth that's been proclaimed. And, oh, Father, if there be one here today that has not embraced you as Savior, Lord, would they weigh that and would they respond to that invitation that's been given? Would you watch over us? We thank you for protecting our church. We pray now that as we go out, that we will be great representatives of you, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.